it's interesting because Stephen and I get to go. Last week I went to the Scarborough campus. It was their last Sunday. And I was trying to think how big their venue is, but I think it's probably like from here to this wall, but not even as long as yours. And they have like 100 people all crammed in there. And they have the kids doing, you know, banners. And the worship team is here and the banner's right here. So they moved in, I think you heard Stephen on the video announcement, so they moved into a former United Church called Wilmer Heights United Church. But I was thinking, oh, Wilmer Heights, because my aunt and uncle, growing up, they went to Wilmer Heights Baptist Church, if anybody was lived in Scarborough, but it's always exciting. So very happy to be here. Just love the family. And you know what's exciting? Parents, I have like a gift for the kids today. It's chocolate. Chocolate. Are you allowed to give them chocolate? Okay, I'm just asking ahead of time. But I, you know, that's the fun thing about coming to a smaller church, because you can give chocolate. But part of my talk is about treasures. And I was trying to think of things that, you know, and for me, really, the talk is going to be treasures are people. But I thought, you know, I had to go back to when I was a kid. One of the things that I, when I was growing up, now, you have to know, when I was a kid, and I'm not that old, but it came in a little box, Cracker Jacks. How many remember Cracker Jacks? And I used to pay a nickel for Cracker Jacks, and there was a surprise inside of it. There was a treasure, and that was the reason why you bought it. You didn't buy it for the popcorn. But you bought it because there was something in it and you couldn't wait and you saved your pennies. And mind you, like, you know how when you go walking and you find a penny on the ground now, how many people don't pick the penny up? Yeah. You know, back in the day, 5 cents bought Cracker Jacks. So I'm going to get Jay. I know that we don't normally do this. He's going to open it up and you guys are going to share the Cracker Jacks. But the other thing that the Lord reminded me, and this is modern day treasure hunting, Kinder thingies. Yes. What do you call them? What do you call them? Yeah, and if there's surprises in them, there's treasures in them. And it's very, and whoever gets the, I know, you have to go for, you'll remember me because I brought food. But I was thinking, I have to bring these Kinder things. So I went to, you know what, when my kids were little, they didn't have these. So I think we bought cereal that had treasures in them. And my kids would be like, I want that one, you know. And it was just because there was one prize in it. And once the prize is gone, they don't want it anymore, do they? But you know what? How about all the kids, the little ones? How about Gloria? Gloria, do you want a chocolate? She's being shy. But you know what? I'm just going to do this. She's going to bring... Oh, she's crying now. Oh, I made her cry. Claire, how about you go and hand out the chocolate to the kids? But you know what? Jill, how about you do me a favor? I want you to open this up in front of everybody just so you can say how exciting this that eggs are and the chocolate... the chocolate is. I Does he want his own? He can get his own.
Okay, but I'm very excited. I'm hiding my excitement right now. I'm very excited. Okay, Jake, will you help me? This is my chocolate surprise, and I get very excited. Can you just help me a little opening that? Can you open it up a little bit? Open it up. That's it. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you just you did not just see his face. He went, ooh.
Would you like to open it up?
Would you like your own? I didn't even know that you could crack it. Like, I don't think I've ever opened one of these things. All I know is that there's treasures inside. And I just, oh, look at that. Forget the chocolate. Let's take the treasure. There we go. But you can give them the chocolate if you... Anyways, very good. Okay. I'm so excited. I just wanted to let you know that treasures, that those chocolates and those treasures, and like you get to come to church, and now he'll want to come next Sunday, and whoever's preaching better bring some goodies. Okay, there are, I know, I saw Jason put his hand up. Who were the people that liked, okay, here. I know. Okay, there's only a few, so I know. There's, okay, you guys can share. Okay, and then there's one back for the mummy to be, because she's probably craving. There you go. Okay. I want you, when you open them, to imagine that these are people. These are incredible people that God has created and that he loves very, very much. And you know, the people that thought about this, like, they're brilliant, aren't they? Somebody one day just said, wouldn't it be great to, you know, put a treasure inside of chocolate, and people will pay a dollar, whatever I paid, which is ridiculous. I think it was like $1.80-something or $1.69 for a thin piece of chocolate with a toy that you're going to throw out. But anyways, that's why I probably don't buy them, because I'm too practical. But anyways, Jason, how are you feeling? He's really excited. Isn't it amazing when you do the kind of treasure thing? It just kind of puts a smile on your face, and it brings you back to childhood. For some of you, you're like, I remember. I remember what it's like. And look at all those Cracker Jacks, you know, going along. It's very good. I gave you all my favorites. But I just wanted to, ooh, my glasses. Okay. So there is a sermon to this, just so you know. I just want to bless you in that. Now let's go home. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. The pastor gave you this simple message on treasures, and that's it. That's all you remember. But hopefully you remember. I just want you to turn to Matthew 13:31. Did anybody find the prize in there? Did you? What was it? Oh, a sticker. Oh, that's kind of cheap, isn't it? Yeah. You know that? Do you know those crackers at Christmas time? Some of them, you know, when you get those little crowns and you think, is that it? Anyways, sorry. I know, it's kind of disappointing, isn't it? I watched, I won't tell you about that one. But anyways, it was just a kids' movie. I like Netflix because I like watching all the kids' movies. And so I just do that. But anyways, Matthew 13:31. I'm just going to read this. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Isn't that neat? You know, I'm going to talk a little bit later, but I really just thought, when you look at that mustard seed, if right now I came and I brought a packet of mustard seeds and I spilt them on the floor, I probably wouldn't value them because they're so small. To me, they just look like dirt, right? They're these little black seeds. They're tiny. They'll spread all over. But somebody who thought about mustard seed, God created them, but realized the value of them. Do we value them? And so that's the one thing about treasure. When you eat an Oreo cookie, now, how many people, if you're like me, when I eat an Oreo cookie, I just don't take it and eat it. I actually take it apart. Anybody do that? Now, I value that Oreo cookie because it is valuable to me. I don't buy them because I would eat the whole thing. But my daughter-in-law bought a package of Fudgios the other day, and I had 4 in one go. But that's why I don't buy them. Yeah, because you have to. But I value the treasure that those cookies are. And I was thinking about people. We are treasures. Do we value them? When we look at them, do we see what's really inside of them? How many people have seen the movie Titanic? Anybody? I have to say, you know, I don't like the ending, but the historical facts and the history of the Titanic are quite interesting. I know Stephen, it affected him in different ways, but really the thing that, for him, because of his English background, it affected him in the way that how the rich people treated the poor people. You know, that's what came out. But it was all about people, wasn't it? That whole ship was about people. It was about people coming into a place where they were the first ones to get on this huge ship. And they were going to go and they were going to have an adventure. A lot of them were going to the Americas. They were going to start a new life. It was going to be incredible, but it kind of got cut off, didn't it? But the history of that ship goes on for how long? Is it 40? I don't even know how long it is. I probably should have looked. Yeah, it was in the 20s, right? So but the history of that and the value of those people. And so how many people, actually, did you just hear Ontario Place is shutting down? Yeah, on the news. So some of it will stay open, but the big, you know, Cinesphere thing that I used to go to when I was a kid, you know, where you watch the big movies, it's shutting down for 5 years and they're going to revamp it. But anyways, that's where I saw a movie on the Titanic. I saw how they went down in this little mini submarine, and they went into the depths of the ocean, and they were able to find different parts. They I guess, had figured out where the Titanic was. I remember them when they had the lights on. They went to the bottom, and they found shoes. They found dishes. But, you know, all those things are connected to people, aren't they? You know, the whole story is connected to people, and we're about people. The kingdom of God is about people. And I think sometimes, you know, we get so busy in life that we forget about people. And I think one of the things that I really, again, love about this church is that you value people in this church. You value family. You value family enough that you would just put your nursery right over here. And your kids, you know, and, you know, those kids are going to remember that when they grow up. I just want you to know they're going to remember this little church in the, you know, in the middle of Toronto, how they didn't have to go off or be forgotten. They're going to remember that they were valued. Just want to ask you a couple of questions. The thing about the, you know, the Titanic impacted the many people in the world, but when we look at people, do we see them as treasures? I thought about that the other day when I was just sort of meditating on my message, and I was in I took a bus. I love taking buses and subways. I know some people don't. I think it's actually very exciting. I like it because I like people, and I like seeing the different people on the subways, and I like seeing them on the buses. I like it when people talk to themselves. I know you think, oh, they're crazy people, but I do. I like it when they talk to themselves. I'm looking, I'm going, boy, they're really enjoying life, you know, right now. They're having a nice conversation. I like looking at, and it's funny because, you know, somebody starts talking to yourself and everybody kind of spreads, you know, because they're afraid of them. But the Lord always just shows me, you know, they're actually not scary people. You know, there's just something going on in their mind and they're just talking to themselves. And so the other day I'm on the bus and there was a man right in front of me talking to himself. And every once in a while, you know, he just let out this, oh, you know, in the bus. And everybody ignored it. And I was intrigued by it, you know, because I think we sometimes like, you know, oh, he's unusual. So we'll just put him there and we'll just pretend he's not there. Ouch. I just pinched my... Anyways, but, you know, but he's not there. And I'm thinking, but he is there. So the key thing is that when we're looking at people in the kingdom of God, we have to realize that they're precious and they're treasures. And I know that people, you know, how many people are in the people business? Anybody? Right. How many people get peopled out? Yeah. Okay. The one thing, I just want to say the people, you have to understand people that are in the people business. We love people. But the greatest love that we have is people. But the greatest exhausting thing is people, isn't it? You know, so you need a little break. So if you're like with people that, oh, we love you and we're hugging you and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden we're quiet, it's because we need to zone out a little bit and we just need to get our energy again. So I just want to encourage you. Do you value people? And I want you to think, you know, when you look at them, are they treasures? Recently, actually about 2 weeks ago, I was in the office. And there was this man that came in, and he was so friendly. He's a nice guy, and he's talking about just about what he's been doing. And actually, he just got out of prison. Yeah, and he came into the church, and he said he's talking away to me, and he was really excited. So here's a guy, he just got out of prison, and we're just chatting away. He's telling me while he's been in prison that he's been talking to people all about God. I was very impressed with him. He did not feel sorry for himself. You know, he didn't come out as, whoa, it's me, I just got out of prison, you know, kind of thing. But actually, he used the situation, not to say, I'm not recommending that you do things to get to prison, but, you know, I was really impressed with him. I was impressed with the fact that when he was in prison, even up to the, you know, there's a holding area just before you get out, he said he witnessed to a guy and he gave his life to Jesus. Because in prison, he saw those people as treasures. And, you know, wherever we go, we have to think of those things. We have to think, you know, what would Jesus think? You know, when we're opening that Kinder thing, you know, when we're unraveling it, and that little boy, I should have turned his face towards you, because when he looked, his face went, ooh. And, you know, when God looks at you, he goes, whoa, look at Jason. Now, I just want you to know that you have a famous pastor here. both Jay and Vera are famous in the city of Toronto. Did you know that? They are famous. People, you know, we meet, Stephen and I meet with some fairly, you know, high up leaders within the city of Toronto. Like, they oversee huge groups of people, church people. And so we're chatting the other day, and all of a sudden, I told Jay this earlier, but all of a sudden they said, oh yeah, you know Jay, Jason. And I'm like, Jason, yeah, he goes to your church. And I'm going, Jason, Jason who? Yeah, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, Jay, you know. And so here's these apostolic leaders where Jay and Vero have been spending years, you know, like connecting with them, pouring into them, and bringing them into the, you know, like bringing the body of Christ together. And so I just want you to know that Jason is famous in the city of Toronto. He's a treasure. I just wanted to let you know. And Vero is too, just so you know. But I just thought I would pick on Jason since Vero's at the back. You know, do we value who they are, people? So do I value the man that came out of prison? Do I value who he is and where he's come from? I don't know really a whole lot of his story. I tried to ask him a couple of questions. And this is where you've got to be careful. When you're talking to people and you see them as treasures, you know, you have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are the right questions to ask? I kind of asked him, were you married before? That was the wrong question. But anyways, he said to me, he said, let's not talk about that. So, you know, so you kind of have to ask. And then I just went on. But he was fine. But you know what? He ended up going to the... And did anybody go to the Shelley Lubin weekend? Any of the men and women? I know. Yeah, that was incredible, wasn't it? And he ended up going there. So that was really good. So I just want to say, in terms of people and treasures, don't give up on them. You know, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because we get so consumed with life and what people are... what's happening in their lives that sometimes... even myself, I can give up on them. I can look at them. And that's why the other day when I was in the bus, I was saying, Holy Spirit, tell me about these people. You know, just, and so I talk to everybody. I somewhat get that after my mother. You know, she'll go to a mall, and she really goes for the people because she loves people also. And she'll go to the mall, and she'll talk to everybody under the sun. And she'll stop them in the middle, and she'll just give them a word. You know, it's kind of like they're going by and she kind of grabs them, you know, and then she'll have these huge conversations because she values them, because she treasures them. Mark Stibbe recently, when he was at our church, had an interesting quote. He said, the treasures of discovery are found in the fields of discovery. So where is your field? Where is your field in terms of when you're looking for people, when you see people? When I look at you, if I know that Jay and Vero right now and some of your leadership could look at you guys. I don't know you enough to say, you know, what your giftings are or what you do. But the key thing is always thanking people, always looking into their eyes and just saying, you know what, you are incredible. Let's just go on with the scripture. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and this is smaller than all the other seeds. Now, the interesting thing, and I know that, you know, lots of people have probably taught on the mustard seed, but did you know that the fruit of the seed provides 700 million pounds of mustard, which is consumed worldwide each year? That's incredible, isn't it? I just did a little Google research, and you can look at that. But that little tiny seed affects that many people. So how many can you affect? You know, we're bigger than a tiny seed, aren't we? The joy of the Lord. You know, when you guys come to church on Sunday or when you go to your cell or when you have your quiet time, do you get filled with the presence of God? Do you work with the things that are inside of you so much so that you can affect a nation? I know that right now, when I think of what Trevor and Jason, a lot of you, even Vero and what you, this is one thing I love about this church is you guys are outward focused. You are looking at people outside of this place and seeing them as treasures. How many people, I know, I'm assuming that everybody here would have heard of the movie Nefarious. Yeah, did anybody see it? Yeah, I cried through the whole thing. But I think it's, you know, the thing that I loved about it was that it went through, it was a whole documentary about women in the sex trade and everything that had happened. And at some point in their life, the father was able to come and his love just came and shone on them. And all of a sudden, they got the revelation of his love. And now they are affecting many, many people. And so I just want to just say today that just to really just walk into that place, you know, when you think of a mustard seed, that you can say, I don't affect anybody. You actually do. You know, when you walk into a, how many people, I actually let my family know when I'm in a bad mood. I don't know if mothers do, but I officially let them know I'm in a bad mood right now. I want to be in a bad mood, so just don't bug me right now. But, you know, and how many people have experienced people that are in bad moods? And it's kind of contagious, isn't it? It's kind of like lice. Anybody ever had lice? You go in, yes, when you work in a school. I remember every time we got that letter home from the school, "Dear Mrs. Long, there has been an outbreak of lice in your son's class." And all of a sudden I start scratching my head, you know, and I think that I have lice. Does anybody do the same thing? I do it all the time. I'm like, oh, no, lice. Oh, and then I hug. I remember this was probably about 5 years ago. In a winter, I got two bouts of lice. It's because I hug everybody. And I went somewhere and they said, you know, you really need to stop hugging people. And I said, I just can't do that. So I just asked God to help me. And so I just want to encourage you again that your good moods, your bad moods, how you look at things, what you say, just affects everybody, right? You know, like a smile on your face will go like a huge way. Have you ever gone up to somebody in the grocery store or when you're buying a paper or something or McDonald's, wherever you go, and like, how are you doing today? And they're shocked because you actually are taking time to talk to them. Have you ever done that? Anybody ever done that? Try it. It's actually really good. You're like, hey, how are you? Yesterday when I was buying those Kinder eggs, I was in Shoppers Drug Mart and I was talking to the people, actually just a little bit of advice. If you go to Shoppers Drug Mart and there's a lineup, go to the beauty products. Yeah, just so you know. Because they're usually sitting around doing nothing because not a lot of people go and buy makeup all at once, just so you know. But anyways, I had this whole conversation about church. And one of the girls goes, I was joking with her and I said, oh, I'm buying these eggs for church because I'm doing a message tomorrow. And she says, what church do you go to? And I found out that she actually was an original member of the Vineyard Church when it first started. Like, and I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't taken time to value them and look at them and talk to them. And so then I ended up finding out that the lady next to her was from Ireland. And we were talking about New Brunswick and all those places, and we had this wonderful discussion. But I was able to, you know, just kind of put in that, like, it was normal that I was buying Kinder eggs so that I could preach a sermon. Now, see, some of you might think, well, that isn't normal, right? But actually, you know, how you present yourself, right? If I go in and just say, it's normal for me and I'm not ashamed or embarrassed by it, then it's good, isn't it? So I just want to encourage you again, Kinder eggs, no, Cracker Jacks. Just remember that small mustard seed, you know, what it produces. In Matthew, again, Matthew 13, the end part says, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. How many people have this, I'm going to give you a little detail in a minute, but there are some people that people just come to you all the time, you know, and talk to you. Anybody like that? Yeah? You know, and you go, is there a sign on me that says, talk to me, tell me all your troubles, you know, kind of, that's when you're having a bad day. Anybody like that? You know, not like that, but, you know, and I used to think I would be sitting in a mall and I would just be sitting there relaxing and all of a sudden somebody would come and sit beside me and they would just tell me their deepest, and I'm like, I'm just relaxing here, you know, go get a coffee or something. No, but that was back in the day. But, you know, that's what we get to do. That's what the reason we're here. We're here to be treasures. We're here to find the treasures. We're here to allow the treasures to come and nest in our area. Isn't that incredible? I think, you know, I know today's, it's a simple sermon, and yet it's so valuable. I think it's just something that God has been putting on my heart, that he's been placing my heart to say, you know what, Sandra, you're a people person. I'm going to increase your love for people. And you know what? People need to see the real thing, don't they? They need to see that you're not being phony. I know that sometimes people, I don't want to label people, you know, but when you look at salesmen, for instance, and that's their job. It's their job to be nice, isn't it? And so they'll talk to you about everything. And at the end, I always go, what do you want? You know, do you ever get those phone calls, you know, you've just won, you know, a cruise. And you're like, yes, you know, but I already know the deal. I already know that at the end of it, they're going to ask me to come to this thing. And so I say, can we just skip to the, you know, skip to the end. What did I win? I don't have time to go. Do I still win something? No. So, I know. Yeah. So we want to be true to ourselves. We want to be light. Okay, let me just tell you. Mustard seeds. The seedling actually emerges really quickly. So it comes out of the ground really quickly, but it grows slowly. And it says plants cover the ground in 4 to 5 weeks. I like that. I like when you plant something and you see it instantly, because there's satisfaction. When you pour into people, when you give to them, when you love on them and you see that. I love it how you got that, you know, you guys as a church, you know, like you pray for the money. That's so cool. Now we just need accommodation. Yes, yes, it'll come. But you know what? The root of that is 5 feet. So that little seed, you know, it comes out like a bush, right? But the root of it is 5 feet under into the soil. And it can go up to 30 to 45 inches. And so how big is your root underneath, and how large are you as a plant? Have you ever thought about that? When you're looking at yourself and you're going, how do I affect the people around me? How do I influence the people around me? How many people am I going to get into the kingdom this week? I know that, like Jay, for instance, he is the man for telling people about Jesus. If you want to know about Jesus, if you want to know, he's passionate about it. But that there's other people that are passionate about other things. You know, I know that there's people in here right now that are passionate about what they do, but what comes out of you is integrity. Does that make sense? What comes out of you is kindness. What comes out of you is love. And so when those people are looking at you and they're sitting on your tree, they're sitting on your, like, area, all of a sudden they look at those things and they go, there's something about that person. Where Jay will just say it right, you know, he'll just say it out. Where other people will do it in a different way, and it'll come out, and there'll be a fragrance that comes off of them that is very sweet and very loving. How many people how many people are eye people? Do you know what I mean? Anybody know? You look into somebody's eye, yeah, and you just know. You just know if they're kind, if they're telling the truth, or, you know, all that. Anybody like that? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. You know, I think every day we should bless our eyes so that people, when they look at us, that they say, oh, man, there's something about her, and then they're drawn to them. And so I just want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you that it's important that you just continue to do that. Bethel. Anybody heard of Bethel in Reading? I love that place. I love the passion that they have there. I know that there's they probably have over 1,000 students that go to their school. And one of the things that I hear about that school is that they do a lot of outreach. They go into, like, the whole time that they're there, they go into areas of the city where they start connecting with people. They start building relationships with them. And so they do a thing called treasure hunting. Anybody heard of that word? Yeah. I think it's kind of neat. Wouldn't it be great if you guys met, your cell met this week, and you said, you know what, we're going to go to Tim Hortons, or we're going to go to the shopping mall, and we're going to go treasure hunting. And some of you are going, what are they talking about? But actually, you're going to find treasures. There's so many people. I go to the mall to relax. I don't go to shop necessarily, but I go to relax. I know that one of the things that I love about the mall is the little old men that sit in the coffee area and chat for hours and hours. And that's part of their life. But can you imagine if, you know, Jay goes into the mall one day? He probably doesn't have time to go to the mall because you're working all night and you have to sleep during the day, and who has time to go shopping? But if Jay goes into the mall and all of a sudden there's this group of Portuguese, I'm going to say Portuguese because where I am, there's Portuguese men and they're having their coffee and they're talking away and they'll spend hours and hours and Jay gets to go in there and like, hey, how you doing, man? That's what he would say. Hey, how you doing, man? And all of a sudden they're like, and you know, the opportunity that we get to go into the malls, go into wherever we are. I don't even know why I started with the mall, but maybe it's because I like the mall. But that's where I go to relax. That's where I go to talk to the people. My mother does that. My mom and dad, they're in their 70s. In the wintertime, sometimes it's hard to walk outside, so they go walk in the malls. My mom, it's just my dad and my mom at home, so they don't talk much. So my mother has to go to the mall and talk. But she, some of you might know that if you have quiet husbands. How many people know Followers Mission? Downtown Toronto, Young Hua, incredible woman. She's 65 years old now. She might be 66. But many, many years ago, she was, it's Sherbourne and Queen, and she was either in a bus or a car, but she would drive by Sherbourne and Queen. She's an intercessor. She loves to pray. Right now, she's in China right now praying for people. The Lord calls her to go and pray for different nations, but the Lord's also called her to Toronto. So one day she's driving, and she sees Sherbourne and Queen, and she's like, man, look at these people. Now, if you look at Sherbourne and Queen, there's a Salvation Army right next door, and believe it or not, the man that came into our church is actually living there right now. So that was incredible. You know, there I was able to connect, and he goes, yeah, I go there. But, you know, he actually made his way out of there. But there's people that live in that community. And she, one day, she just said, these people are treasures. I want to do something here. What am I going to do, Lord? And the Lord just said, you know what? Bring a little barbecue. Bring some hot dogs. And so she started her little mission. She went, and she brought her little barbecue, and she puts it on this picnic table, and she starts putting the hot dogs on. And now, are these people going to eat? Yeah, they're going to eat. You know, they're going to be hungry. And she did it week after week until it started growing. But the incredible part is she started seeing inside of them. She started seeing, you know what? These people, they need something. Now, you have to understand, and maybe some of you don't realize, but a lot of the homeless people that are walking in our city have come from a very painful place. You have to remember who they are. They actually are fathers. They're lawyers. They're doctors. They come from places like that. They've had a bad, you know, I'm just going to use the word luck because that's what they would say. But their luck ran out in terms of their situation, and they had nowhere to go, and all they need is somebody to come to them and value who they are and encourage them in this place and say, you know what, you're a treasure. Now, I wouldn't go up to a guy, you know, on the street and say, you're a treasure. I think he'd think I was a little weird, you know. But I think what I would do is I'd say, Holy Spirit, what do you see in this man? My ex-brother-in-law actually used to work down in a shelter in the evenings years ago. And he would come home and he would go to his wife, who's my sister-in-law, he would say, you know what, I'm going to bring my suit in. And she goes, well, why are you bringing your suit in? Well, you know what, there's a guy that came into the shelter. He needs a job interview, but he doesn't have any clothes. And she goes, well, what kind of job did he used to do? Well, he used to be a lawyer. You know, and so he began to really fall in love with those people. And I think we're in a society where we need to learn to fall in love with people the way Jesus loves people. Yeah? And you know, that's just the way it works. I just want to read in 1 Corinthians 3 really quickly to you. Because we all get a 1 Corinthians 3 is talking about Paul and Apollos and some of the things starting in verse, I'll just start in verse 3. Okay. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but Paul was causing the growth, or God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. And so I just wanted to remind you that some of us water, some of us plant, but God causes the growth. I think sometimes when it comes to how many people, now I want you to be honest, because I used to be really scared, and I still get scared, but how many people it scares them to witness to people? Yeah. You know, and what are we afraid of? We're really afraid of the rejection. I remember the first time that, this is when Stephen and I were dating. I was probably like 16 years old. He's 5 years older than me. We weren't dating, but this is how we connected. We were in the Toronto airport, and we were walking around, and our little Baptist youth group or young adult group had these little surveys, and we had to go, and we would go up to groups of people, and we would do surveys. And so I went by myself. Now, I, in hindsight, whoever the leader was should have said, don't go by yourself, you know, because it's pretty scary. So I go up to a group of young men, and I'm like, hey, you know, and I don't even remember what I said. I only remember the after effect. And basically, they laughed in my face, you know, because I didn't do it right. But what happened was when, like, at first I went in there, I'm like, oh, God, there's some guys there. I'm going to get them. They're treasures, you know. They need to hear what I have to say. And all of a sudden, I do the survey. Can you do the survey with me? Because that was one of the little things that they used to do. And you do the little survey and check off the thing. And they just laughed in my face. They didn't value what I was valuing inside. And so what happened was, at that moment in time, I probably made a vow, I'll never do that again. And I remember it devastated me. I remember just bursting out, like I walked away from them. But I remember just crying, and Stephen, my hero, who I was just about to date at the time, came and saved me. And he walked with me, and he's like, are you okay? And oh, they laughed at me, and da-da-da-da. You know, so I know that sometimes when we share stuff with people, that it's scary. And sometimes they'll reject us, and sometimes they'll say, you know what, you're a fool, but your job sometimes is just to plant. And then somebody else is going to come along and say something really nice and have like a prophetic word or something and say, you know, you should do this. Or I remember once I went to the airport and I got this strong impression, one of the guys, you know, that does looks through your stuff. And I thought, well, I'll use the opportunity since I got delayed, right? So he's looking through my stuff. And I just said to him all of a sudden, I said, you know what? I hear from God sometimes, you know, trying to, you know, like, oh, God, please don't let him reject me. But, you know, and I said, do you like music? And he goes, yeah. I said, I think God still wants you to you know, pursue your music. And the guy just, like, his face lit up. And so I got to water a dream that had been planted in him. And so that's the key thing, that we just always need to remember, you know, that people, you know, that's what our job. I want to read this story, and then I'm going to end with this. I think it's really incredible. It's a story, I got it on Godvine, just for some of you oldies that maybe like to cry. You need a good cry. If you need to cry, go on Godvine, because they tell you all these stories. So, if you, sometimes, you know, you have our time, but, you know, I don't. I just cry. But anyways, this one's called For Richer and Poor, and I just want to read this, and I want you to hear the heart of this, okay? I want you to hear the heart of people, because that's what we're about. We're about people. God has built a foundation in us. He has taken time to pour love into us. But I'll just read this part. It says, the wives who lived within the walls of the Weinsberg Castle in Germany were well aware of the riches and it held, gold, silver, jewels, wealth beyond belief. Then the day came in 1141 AD when all their treasures were threatened. And every army had surrounded the castle and demanded the fortress, the fortune, and the lives of the men within. There was nothing to do but surrender. Can you imagine being in that place? Can you imagine being the families in that place, knowing that, you know what, that this is it? You know, my husband is going to have to go or stay there, and there's going to be this enemy that's going to come and kill my husband. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, you know, what they had to go through then. And it says, although the conquering commander had set a condition for the safe release of all the women and children, the wives of Weinsberg refused to leave without having one of their own condition. Thank God for bold women. They demanded that they be allowed to fill their arms with as many possessions as they could carry out. Knowing that the woman couldn't possibly make a dent in the massive fortune, their request was honored. So when the castle gate was open, the army outside was brought to tears. Each woman had carried out her husband. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible that it probably took some strong wife? Now, I can just imagine the conversation. You don't know how heavy my husband is. But do you know what I mean? But, you know, I can imagine the conversation that is happening in there. And even the husbands themselves being valued by their wives. Can you imagine Vero? I'm only going to use her as an example. Vero having to carry Jay out, you know, but she would do it because she loves her husband. She would do it because she values him. She would do it because all the riches in the world can't compare to the love that she has for her husband. I can't even imagine how I would carry Stephen out, but anyways. But anyways, you know what? There's a supernatural strength that comes on you that you're like, you know what? I don't need any of this, but I need my husband. You know, my kids are safe. They're letting my kids out. Can you imagine the impact? Obviously, I think this is a true story that happened. I'd love to just go back and see where they got it from. But I'm thinking, man, these are people. These are, so like, think about right now. I just want you to close your eyes just for a minute. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, who are the treasures in my life? Now, the Holy Spirit might just show you one person, and it could be your family. It just could be anybody. Now, when you think of that person, you know, does, like, when I think of treasures right now, I think of my grandson. I mean, I love my kids, they know it, but right now, he, you know, he's my grandson. And I think of my little 8-month-old Ethan. And when I look at him, I think, man, he's a treasure from God. He's beautiful. He's everything. You know, there's so much for him in this life. I can't wait to enjoy every stage of his life. Think of that person right now. Think about the opportunity that you have to pour into them. Think about, for some of you, it might even be your spouse. It might be that when you leave this place, that you're going to, like, kiss him all over his face. And you're going to say, man, you know what? I have not valued you today. I was grumpy when I got up this morning. Or I didn't give you a hug. Or think of your parents. You know, the parents that raised you. They might not have done a perfect job, but they're treasures. Think of the person that you work with. Think of your neighbor. I have a neighbor in his 80s, that Stan and Glenda. They're beautiful people. They're not Christians, but I value them. They're treasures in my life. And he's slowly getting dementia, so he's slowly forgetting. And I'm like praying prayers like, God, please don't let him die. Don't let him forget who I am before I can get him into the kingdom of God, even though I've tried before, that kind of thing. So think about those people. Think about the people that, and this is a hard one, and you can open your eyes again if you'd like. But think about the people that you look at that don't, that smell, that don't dress very nice, that irritate you. Anybody got those people? Think about those people. Think about how God sees them right now. And, you know, I had to do that. I had to do like, oh God, please forgive me. Have you ever done that? For me, I have such a good, keen sense of smell. I love the freshness of baked bread, but if I sit in a bus or somewhere and I sit beside somebody that has body odor, I'm like, you know, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me, help me. You know, I'm trying to be a good Christian and not move. And so think about those people. I know, Jimmy's laughing. Think about, yeah, fresh wind, yeah. Think about those people. And so when you think of them, they started out as a seed in their mother's womb, didn't they? They were like, man, God was so excited when that seed was planted because he knew what they were going to become. So I just want you to think about that. So how about you stand up right now? I know for some of you right now, you know, there's a scripture in Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are God's workmanship. And there another translation says, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You are God's handiworks right now. And, you know, for some of you, you might not like people because you don't love yourself. And I really felt this morning that there might be people in this room right now that just don't like themselves right now. And so if you don't like yourself, how can you even see the people that are treasures, you know, that are in your life right now because you don't even like yourself? And so I want to pray for you after, but I really I know that's a personal thing. So if you would like prayer for that, if you're struggling like, man, I can't even think beyond because I don't even like myself, you know, that's just a lie from the enemy. You know, you need to look in the mirror and just say, you know, remember the Cinderella, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And you look in and the witch always saw, you know, Cinderella. Is it Cinderella?
Snow White.
Whatever. She always saw Snow White. You know, beautiful. You know why she was beautiful? Because she was pure. She was who she was. And I feel like God wants to release in you today, just be who you are and don't give up on other people around you. Yeah? So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come right now and you would be with these ones right now. Lord, I pray that you would increase the passion that Jay has for the people in his workplace. Father, I pray that you would give us the ability to communicate to the people around us, Father. Father, I pray that you would give us the ability to love ourselves so that we can love the people around us. Father, I pray that you would be with the ones that are having difficulties with people even in their own family right now that are not treating them right. Lord, I pray that you would just come and minister to their spirits right now. And Father, that you would show them what a treasure they are. Father, that just like that man that came into the office that just got out of prison, and he's been in and out of prison all of his life, and yet every time he goes into prison, he tells people about you. I don't know. Maybe he's got a ministry there and he has to do something to get back in. I'm not sure. But I know that sounds silly, but, you know, there might be something there, but I just don't know. But Father, thank you, Lord, that there are men and women that are in hard places right now that need to be thought as treasures, need to be felt special, need to be loved. Father, thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, we can give them, you know, Cracker Jacks. Father, that we can give them a Kinder thing, you know, chocolate thing. And Father, their eyes light up and they go, oh my goodness, you thought about me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that every day you look at us and you go, oh my goodness, Sandra or Jason or any of you, you're incredible people. I love your heart. You know, that's the one thing about Sandra here. You know what? There's just something about her heart in the midst of all the pain that she's going through. The presence of God is so deep within her, and she's such an incredible treasure. And the Lord just continues to pour inside of her. And then the question is, well, how come God won't heal her? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but all I know that even through the process of what she's been going through, the Lord just keeps softening her heart. And so, Father, I pray that for these ones right now, that you would soften their hearts for the people around them. Father, that it would just be incredible. You would do a miracle, and I know that's a miracle for some people. But Father, help us not to give up on each other. You know, and I just want to bless you. I bless you all just for the presence of God just to come into your heart right now. I thank you for the simplicity of the word, Lord. I thank you for the size of the mustard seed that is in our lives that has grown quickly above the ground and slowly growing above the ground and the impact that it has. Father, you are incredible. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless this church. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come. And, Father, I thank you that this is a well for this community, for the city of Toronto. And, Father, I pray that more treasures would walk into this place. And, Father, that we would embrace them. You know, can you imagine when we get to heaven and the Lord will say, I've been waiting for you. Isn't that amazing? I've been waiting for you. And so, Father, I pray that every day, wherever we go, today, Father, some of us will get back on a bus. Lord, I pray that we will see them as treasures And Lord, we will act on it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I bless you guys. Jason, you want to? And if you'd like prayer, I'm very happy to come.
I guess about the whole treasure thing, there's lots of people in here. A lot of people who come to this church would know that I'm all about finding the treasure in people and bringing it out. I'm all about seeing the thing that Christ died for. You know, us being able to receive it. But it's interesting because how I got saved was somebody witnessed to me in an arcade. And I laughed at them and I ridiculed them. And they left that meeting with me very frustrated and very angry. And I remember his fists were clenched as he walked away. But he didn't know what happened. Because about 3 months later, I got saved. And it was funny because I told him, I said, look, I grew up in the church. I know what you're all about. I basically called him brainwashed, mind-controlling person. Yeah, even God looks down on us like I look down on my son. All he sees when he looks down on us is his son. And I've been waiting to have a son for a really long time. You know? So just take a moment and just come to Papa. Just come to Papa. Come up to the front. Spend some time in his arms. Spend some time in his arms. His presence is here. It's right here. It's getting thicker by the moment.
I just wanted to say, you know, Jimmy, how many people know Jimmy here? Jimmy, I just want to, you know, he's a treasure. He's a treasure to you. He's a treasure to us. He really just inspires me. But I don't know if any of you really know, and I want him to take, like, 1 minute, okay, Jimmy, because these people want to go. But 1 minute, because Jimmy came to the church a number of years ago and was on fire for the Lord and loved the Lord and was passionate about the Lord. But one day, what happened, Jimmy?
Yeah, just like one day God gave me a revelation about what happened in the womb when my mom was pregnant, about the rejection and so on. And so I get really mad at God and say, God, you could have done something different. And so I step away from God from the beginning of 2010 to the end of 2010. And I come back in the beginning of January, 2011.
So what was the clincher to come back? What was it that God did?
Yeah, just like God spoke to me every night, and I would kind of mock God and because I don't want to hear his voice no more. And then he gave me a last chance in the last minute, and the Holy Spirit was not smiling no more, and I knew in my spirit that he's really serious, so I have to be serious too. Then I came back to him.
Yeah. So is there anybody here like that where, you know what, because I'd like Jimmy to pray. Actually, you know what, he's going to pray. I'm going to get him to pray right now because, you know, some of us have forgotten the treasures that we are. And you know what? God loved Jimmy enough to let him go, but bring him back. Do you understand? And there's a lot of people out there right now that God has, or in their life, because of their situation, they're gone for a while. And he had to go through that, but now he realizes that now he values, you know, the presence of God. When he worships, like, I know when he comes to airport, like on a Friday night, we do Come Holy Spirit. The guy is just totally out there, and he does not care what people think because he's in love, because God has shown him what a treasure he is. But can you just pray for those people that are sort of like wandering a little bit? And
yeah, just like I feel there are some of you right now, like you may come to church and pretend to be a Christian, but I feel like there's some of you right now that are really, really mad at God about what happened a while ago, or that promise, or that goals that you set, and you couldn't get it. But what I have to say to you is, like, we all know that it's not part of the problem. And the games is the devil that is playing mind games. And we need to get rid of that ungodly belief, because God is good and his mercy endures forever. So, Father God, I just pray for anyone here that has anything against you. And we know that you are not the problem, Lord. You are not the problem. Our enemy is the devil. People are not our problem. Father God, I just pray that anything that is blocking them from receiving from you, anything that is keeping them back from you, Father God, I just pray that those things will be erased right now in Jesus' name. And I plead the blood of Jesus over those situations and ask you, God, to clear everything, to erase everything that is blocking them from receiving from you. And Father God, I just call back identity on everyone in this room. I just call back, and I feel like some of you have issue, like I do, with fatherless. Like we don't have father, our dad never told us that we are beautiful, we are good looking or whatever. But I feel like God is saying, I am your dad, I am your father. It doesn't really matter what happened or what your dad did. Come to me and I will show you who I am, and I will give you back that identity, that identity in Christ Jesus. And I feel like some of you really need to seek the heart of God. Because when you put your face in that situation, that means that situation is bigger than God. But God is bigger than every situation. Instead of looking for answer, look for God, because he is the real answer for every situation. In Jesus' name.